Good morning, I'm Dahlia, and we have asked this question to you on 580 CFRA's Facebook page and on Twitter. You could tweet me at Dahlia Kurtz. Do you feel like you have to be on social media? Why? And bigger question, why am I asking this? I'm asking this because we've had our Super Kids panel join us. This is a panel of young people. They are back once a month. They're going to be with us again next week. And I'm very concerned about something that perhaps you make fun of, perhaps you underestimate, and that's our kids. Preteens, teens. Many people assume that young people are self-absorbed. On the contrary, I think that they are others-absorbed. And when it comes to social media and the kids, the same portals that serve as our source of connection also serve as our source of disconnection. And this is creating an overwhelming amount of stress. And this is what the kids actually talked to us about when they were here for the Super Kids panel, about the stress that was bringing tears to their eyes that they face on social media. So we needed an expert's take here. And joining us now on the goods, we have the clinical team lead for outpatient mental health at CHEO, clinical psychologist Dr. Neil Gautheil. And before we even hear one word out of his mouth, I want to have him and you listen to what these kids had to say to us when they were here about some of the stresses that they feel that we don't realize they feel.
Always being quote-unquote perfect, having perfect grades, being perfect on social media really stresses me out. Even when I'm like going to bed, I'm like thinking about, oh, how am I going to edit this photo? How am I going to make this video for tomorrow? It's always just in the back of my head. So you want everyone to see that you have a perfect life. Very hard.
I don't know. I think this time is just like a really hard time for my generation. And
why? What's hard?
Well, there's like a lot of change, a lot of bad media. I don't know. There's just a lot of stressors. I think personally, one of the ones is, you know, some school-related stuff, just trying to do my best. I feel like I'm always just stressed about trying to get something out. Like, I'm always trying to get new content out, and sometimes you just kind of burn out, and you have to take these breaks, and, you know, when you take breaks, people just, like, unfollow you.
People are going to be like, oh, why did you edit this when, like, I don't even know how to edit properly. So, like, people are like, how did you edit this? I'm like, I don't. But then people start bullying me. So I just ignore them and block them.
And that was from our Super Kids panel of Ashlyn, Jackson, and Rain. They're going to be here again next week on Sunday, 9:35 a.m. But right now, I want to get our expert's take here on the goods. I'm Dahlia, and he is clinical psychologist Dr. Neil Gautheil. Thank you so much for taking your time to join us today.
Oh, well, thank you very much for doing a show like this. And I just want to add one piece in there. You referred to me as the expert, and I think one of the things that we heard on that tape from those remarkable kids is that really the expertise is coming from them. Like, and we need to be able to listen and be able to hear what they're thinking about, because they know their world better than we know their world.
And especially because I feel as though, and you can witness this in your practice, but I feel as though we've decided what their world is and we've imposed that upon them. But I don't think we have any idea.
Well, you know, I would take that two ways. I think it's really important that we listen, but I also don't think we should discount our wisdom, because that's the one beautiful thing about youth is they're a lot more capable of living in the moment than we are. But one of the things that's really important is for parents to be involved in their kids' lives, to be able to provide both the past and the future for them. So, you know, you have young people that are really passionate about something that they want to do, but being able to help them see, well, the last time you did it, this is what happened. And you may want to do this right now, but I want you to be thinking down the road what's going to happen is really important. So we do have a role, but we can't be so arrogant as to think we know all the things that need to be done until we consult the experts on their life, which is them. And then we're going to help them through that.
You bring up an interesting point, which I want to flag and get to when you talk about parents need to be more involved, because I actually recently saw a documentary that was showing studies with parents and babies and parents on their phone. Mm-hmm. And how babies were reacting because they felt as though their parents weren't involved enough. But before we even get to that point, you've been in practice for so many years. Last I checked your bio, it said 15 years. I don't know how frequently your bio is updated.
I haven't updated that in 5 years.
There we go. 20 years. So you've seen the evolution of social media and young people. So I would love... or the you know, perhaps it's devolved, I'm not sure. I would love for you to tell us what you've witnessed through your practice with kids and social media.
Okay, well, I mean, I think it's always important to begin by saying that the reason social media has taken off the way it has is because it does offer us incredible things. Mm-hmm. It allows us to be able to communicate with people all over the world at any time, 24/7. That's really cool. That's also really a problem, because not only do we live in stressful times, we can argue that stressful times have been, a part of the way things have been, but now we can get information all the time. There's so much information about some of the terrible things happening in this world that is bombarding children and all of us. That really, I think, the overall tension and anxiety in the world is increased because of this ability to always have information right there for us. The other thing about social media is it used to be that if you had an issue with a friend and it was after school, you had to wait until the next day, or you had to pick up the phone and actually listen to their voice and have a conversation or get together with them. Usually what happened is you waited till the next day. Well, now you are able to communicate and address things throughout the day and night with people. And there is no downtime. There is no getting away from that sort of stuff. One of the ways that that's really misused is if I'm someone who wants to pick on you, if I want to bully you, I can get you through social media at any time.
The other thing that concerns me, and if you're just joining us, I'm Dahlia, this is The Goods. We're having a conversation with clinical psychologist Dr. Neil Gottheil. The other thing that concerns me when we're talking about social media and you're talking about how prevalent it is, 24/7, is the idea that we have these super kids. They were talking to us about, I go to bed at night and I'm stressing about this photo or this video that I'm going to post. And so the other part of the 24/7 is that kids are on 24/7. When I was 15, I would go home, I had a really big pimple, and I felt like the whole world was staring at me and making fun of me. And I could take my makeup off, and I can just be me, and I could live my life. But now, you don't know when that FaceTime call is coming in. You don't know when that Razor call is coming in, that Skype call. You don't know when somebody's going to take a snap of you. You don't know. You've got to be on like it's paparazzi 24/7, too. So you physically have to be on.
Well, that's an interesting point. I think there's probably a lot of people out there that are saying, well, just turn the devices off.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, probably taking breaks from your devices is the best thing that you can do for yourself. But the reality is if you want to be invited to parties, if you want to, what the latest thing is you might need to prepare for tomorrow, if you shut down and the rest of your peers are all online, you're left out of it. Let's say you want to just maybe get some real face-to-face social time. You want to go to the park after school and be active as opposed to just be on your devices. Well, in my day, there would be other kids at the park.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, a lot of kids are in their basement or in their room and they're playing online their video games. So.
Or they're at the park on their phone.
So mm-hmm. Even if you want to be able to connect with people directly, it's much harder to find them.
Because you were not at the park if you didn't get an Insta or Snap of being at the park. Like, that's how it is these days. You have to show that you're somewhere. And then what's happening is kids are looking for the absolute best moment that they could find, even if they had a miserable time at the park. Let's say they felt left out. Let's say they don't feel like they are adjusted with any of the other kids, but they look for that best picture. They edit it in the best way. They put it online in a way to make it, to frame it like, I just had the greatest time. My life is great. In their head, there's a big disconnect between what they're presenting to the world and what they're experiencing inside. And then other kids are taking in what they're presenting to the world and thinking, oh, that kid has a great life and my life sucks.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And you know, there's, well, when you're online, it gives the false sense that you're connecting. And yes, okay, young people nowadays, absolutely, the virtual world is real. It's a place where you communicate, you share information, and I don't think we can discount it. It may not be where I tend to live a substantial portion of my life, but it is a part of their life, and we have to recognize that. But the problem with living in a virtual world and spending too much time there is there are various skills that drop off. For example, I can be social, but I don't have to keep up my hygiene. I don't have to get dressed. I don't have to leave my bedroom. And if you're socially anxious, for example, it's a lot easier to be socially anxious, stay home, miss school, check out of the real world life because you have the virtual world to keep you going. And so what ends up happening is people with different struggles are actually able to stay much longer before they actually seek out services and get some help.
Mm.
So, for example, again, in my day, if you were socially anxious, you stayed at home because you were afraid to be at school, and you were so bored and so miserable and so sad that it brought you into services because there's nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to do at home. Nowadays, what we've done is technology has allowed us to remove some of the very important pain that we need to have in our life because pain is motivating. And so if you're having discomfort, it gets you to say, I need to take action. I want to get away from this pain. Well, there's such a convenience in everything that you can do.
It's like self-medicating.
It is a self-medication. There's no question about that.
If you're just joining us, this is The Goods. I'm Dahlia. We're having a conversation with clinical psychologist Dr. Neil Gottheil. And part of the way this is self-medicating when we're talking about social media, and you could answer this question online, do you feel like you have to be on social media? Why? Is kids' self-esteem, and adults too, not to be overlooked. And kids' self-esteem, however, is greatly linked to the like button. How many likes they get. We listen to their Super Kids panel tell us about, you know, they're thinking about how to post. This is giving them so much anxiety. How do I post this? How many likes do I get? I need to take this picture down because not enough people liked it. Oh, no, somebody unfollowed me. So their self-worth is connected to something that's so disconnected.
Yeah, and it's coming from strangers. It's coming from people they may
not
necessarily
authentic.
Know. No, absolutely. And unfortunately, many important terms have been kind of stolen from the English language. So, you know, likes referring to someone clicking a button on a screen or even how they define friends. Have you been friended? It's become a verb. And so when I meet with people and I hear patients tell me, I have 307 friends, my new question is, how many of those have you actually met?
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the points that's very important for me to make and that I try and make with the patients that I see is that the important thing that I think underlies most mental health issues that we see from depression, anxiety to trauma and the building of resilience is this connection. We need to be able to connect. Parents need to connect with their kids. Kids need to connect with their parents. I would argue that kids aren't even connecting in a very meaningful face-to-face way with their own peers. So when you are feeling that you are connecting with your peers in your room, on your devices, but you haven't seen your parents all evening because you won't step away from your games or any of those sorts of things, there's an enormous loss that's happening. And connection is our armor. that when we step outside into the world that's not so forgiving, it is our sense of connection that helps us to be vulnerable when we need to, take the risks that we need to, because we know we have people that are there that are going to keep us safe, that we are connected with.
Everything that I've done over the course of years in media, in trying to help others and trying to learn about people's biggest lessons, the most successful people, their biggest lessons, people who have overcome the biggest challenges, oftentimes connection has been the most important thing that people have mentioned in terms of what's the biggest lesson you've learned, how important it is to be connected. That said, when I ask this question, do you feel like you have to be on social media? Why? You have to be on social media or you're not going to be connected. You can't be on social media or you're not going to be connected. It's a double-edged sword. So what do you say when I ask, do you feel like you have to be on social media? Why, Dr. Gottheil?
Sorry, I'm not sure I followed that.
Do you feel like you have to be on social media? If somebody comes to you and says that to you as your client, as your patient, and says, like, in terms of you, the universal you, do we need to be on social media?
Oh, well, we absolutely don't need to be on social media, but it's going to take some work. And it's not easy because, like I said, if everybody is doing it, you know, and you decide to be the person that doesn't, you're going to be faced with an empty playing field. So I think one of the important things is parents and kids, they have the capability. They have to stand together and be able to say, you know what, let's put our phones down for a few hours. Let's try and network and find out who are some other people that would like to stop with the social media and actually do something in the real world. And it's slowly starting to build that. We have people that, you know, when you're involved in a sports team or you join a physical club, those are ways to actually have real time with people. But there's no question, this is a very hard thing to do. We have received the technology and learned the lesson again that we may not be developed enough to be able to handle the advanced technology that we have.
And if you're living life in real time and you don't tweet about it, did it happen? That's the thing. Wow. Whenever you do something, that seems to be just one of the questions, because at the same time, and we've got to continue this conversation at another point, at the same time, I know a lot of kids will turn to social media when they feel alone, and they're the digital first responders. They're the kids who will counsel them. They're the kids who have been through what they've been through, and there are those outlets of connection that feel safer because they're invisible. And you feel as though this person doesn't know who I am. I can tell them all about me and I can open up without the risk of other people finding out.
And that's another huge issue, though, because one of the skills that is probably one of the most important ones is we have to learn to be comfortable with being vulnerable. Without being comfortable with our vulnerability, we're not going to take risks and we're not going to actually enter the arena and engage in life. So my question to you would be, when they need to speak to their friends, where are the parents? And the problem is that if you don't build those connections, then kids aren't going to feel that the door is open for them.
This is such a huge conversation, so we're going to have to invite Dr. Neil Gottheil back. He is the team lead for outpatient mental health at CHEO, clinical psychologist. Thank you so much for taking the time
to
join us.
Yeah.
I'm Dahlia, this is The Goods. I still want you to answer the question. Do you feel like you have to be on social media? Why? Go to social media and tell us more on The Goods right here on 580 CFRA next.